got time one number.
I don't remember where that is, but in Romans chapter 8 is where I think we're supposed to start. Thank you, Jesus. We've been talking about the love of God. And I, in studying this, I've known this verse for 30-something years. And that I just shared with you, which is, well, we're going to go to Romans 8. But the verse, Jesus, whatever you're doing, I'm not saying whoa. I'm saying whoa because I'm having a hard time standing up here. Lord, whatever you're wanting to do, we want to release you. We want to come into oneness with you. We so much want to enter into your heart and live there. We so much want to lay our lives down. We so much want to lose. What is gained to me is lost for Christ. And I so much want to lay it down. We just want to enter into you. To know you. To know you the way you want to be known. Holy Spirit, please be the teacher here today. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. We were, I just got to share, we're in, Romans 8. We're going to start with verse 31, and we're talking about the love of God. We've been talking about this for a few weeks, and God has made it very clear He wants to keep staying here, and I just keep sensing more of His love in me and flowing through me than ever before, and I am so thrilled and I'm so excited because I'm so sorry when His love does not flow. I'm so sorry when I get in the way. I am so sorry for how I hurt people and how I live in the flesh. I don't wish to do that because this world is so desperate for Jesus. They just need to know Jesus. And we are His body and He wants them to know Him through us. They don't know Him. The whole Old Testament, they got this picture that so many people have of God, of just being this stern taskmaster with a stick, a stern dad. You know, He loves you, and if He, you know, only because He's told you so, not because you feel it. And if He ever changes His mind, He'll let you know. But until then, He just want you to tow the rope. And He's got all these rules. And that's how most people view God. And that's how I viewed God. And so God said, you know, they just don't know me. They don't know my heart. I got to get closer. So He stepped out of glory into a body and said, I'm going to become one of you. I'm going to become my creation so that I could reach my creation to bring you in to be one of my children. Oh, man. You know, if people give us any recognition, if people start admiring us, we get so puffed up with pride and ego and self-importance. Are you listening? And we are no good for anybody. We get ruined. I remember I was asked to preach one time. We went to start our first church down in Texas. And somebody called me, and this was a nationally, they said, I didn't know this person. And they said, we are having a meeting, and they start naming all the people that are going to be on the platform. And they're all national or internationally known people. And I'm thinking, why is this guy calling me? I just came down here to start a church. I just got out of Bible college. Who is he? Why is he calling me? And he said, this is 87. Might have been 88, but I think it was 87. And down in Texas, near Mexico. And they were going to have this meeting in Corpus Christi at a place called People's Baptist Church. And Lester Roloff was the founder there. And he is one of my heroes. He's the only picture I have in my Bible. I carry it because this guy just loved the Word of God and memorized and had people memorize like 50 chapters a year or something. You know what I mean? Like, just get the Word of God in you. And I just love this guy. Just word. I just love this guy. He just loves Jesus and he just believes in Jesus. He's like my hero, you know. It's like, I just love this guy, you know. And so anyway, somebody called me from his church and said, we are having this meeting with all these nationally and internationally known speakers that I knew. I mean, I knew of them, you know what I'm saying? They were big names in the circle, the Baptist circle I ran in. There is a big dog out in the road. Please, big dog, get out of the road. And so anyway, traffic stopped because of the big dog. Thank you. Thank you for calling unto him, Don, because he needed to get out of the road. And so this guy calls me and he says, we have all these speakers. And then he says this certain guy's, certain preacher's name, and he said, he can't come. And I'm thinking, this guy must not know who he's talking to. Why is he calling me? Why are you telling me this? I don't, you know, it's like, I figured he must have dialed the wrong number, you know?
Yeah, right.
I'm serious. I don't know him. And why are you telling me about all these internationally or nationally known preachers? And he said, and this certain preacher cannot come, and we would like you to come and speak in his place. And I went, sir, who are you? So he tells me, and I'm like, okay, do you know who you called? My name is Harvey Hampton. I'm nobody. He said, yeah, you're starting a church in Raymondville, Texas. And I go, yeah. And anyway, he says, yeah, you were the one I was told to call. We heard about you and we want you to come speak. And I said, I am nobody. I just got out of Bible college. I said, you need to go check your list. Whoever told you is probably playing a joke on you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I don't know why you're calling me. No, no, you're the one. I said, no. You need to go check your list and talk to whoever, and you know, you don't need to call me back, you know, and just go check your list. And I'm really sorry that somebody pulled a joke on you. And I said, please go find out. And I hung up the phone. And about an hour later, the same guy calls back and he said, Pastor Harvey Hampton? I go, yeah. He goes, I called you earlier and we want you to come speak at this. I said, guy, you can't mean me. You know, I said, long story short, I end up agreeing to go to this meeting. Now, these are people that are on TV. Okay. These are like huge names, right? And I'm going, Lord, why are they calling me? It's like, I thought they must be desperate. It's right near the meeting and they're desperate and they can't get somebody. And so they call me. So I am like I am in fear and I'm in trembling and I'm begging God. And oh God, what am I going to speak on the platform with these other men of God that I respect? And that Bible that I gave you there, I've got signatures of them in the front of my, I mean, these are okay. And I'm going, Lord, what am I going to say? And God gave me a message out of Deuteronomy 5 that was just an incredible message about where God said, the people said to Moses, we're afraid of God. So would you go up to the mountain and talk to God? And then you come back and tell us what he says, but we don't want to talk to him. We're afraid of him. And I preached this message. I got there, and I forgot to tell you, it's 110 miles from where we were to Corpus Christi. And all the way there, Joe, as I'm driving, I'm crying. I mean, I'm bawling. I'm just like gut-wrenching crying. Lord, if you don't show up, if you don't come, I'm out of my league. I'm gonna be so humiliated. I don't want to be there. God, you have got to come. And I show up, and there's like hundreds of people. I don't even know how many. It was packed out. And I preached in fear and in trembling. But it must have been the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, because he just flowed through me. It was just so incredible. And when I gave the altar call, which an altar is a meeting place with God, and you give a message, and then you always give people a chance to respond. And it's a chance for you to take what you just heard and come and meet with God and make a decision of what you just heard. So you don't just, you're not going to be a forgetful hearer. You don't just leave and you heard a little tingly message and, oh, wasn't he a wonderful guy or something. But you did business with God. And I gave this invitation, and whenever I preached around the country, I would always, when I gave the invitation, if you'll remember when I came to Grand Rapids, I would preach, and then I would be the first one to the altar. I would open up the altar, explain what an altar was, like I just basically did with you, and then I would say, you need to come do business with God, or you can sit there in your pew and claim as your life's verse, I shall not be moved. Whichever you want to do, it's between you and God. I don't know how I did it either. It must have been in the Spirit, because I never thought of these things. They just happened. I threw chairs and stood on communion table and jumped on people. And that's just what I do. I tried to just stand there like this, and it didn't work for me. It just wasn't me. And that's why I tell people, you got to do, let the Spirit of God live and move and breathe through you. He look around. He didn't make anybody else in here like you. Christy is not like Rick, and Rick is not like Dan, and none of you are like Tom. And it's like you need to be who God created you to be. You need to let God live through you. And I gave this altar call, and I got down on my knees. And when I got up, everybody, the whole place was up at the altar. People were just bawling and squalling and snot flying and everything just all over the place, and God was just moving, and it was incredible. And people were coming to me, and the speaker who had been there just before me, I don't know if you ever heard of Jack Hiles, but Jack Hiles had like this little church over in Chicago, about 120,000. And he was a preacher to preachers, and there's a Hiles Anderson Bible College in Hammond, Indiana. And this guy, I used to go to his pastor school every year, and there'd be 10,000 pastors and assistant pastors from all over the country, and it was incredible. And he was one of my heroes, and I just learned so much from him. And as a matter of fact, I met the Holy Spirit through him, because he has a book, if I remember correctly, it's called Meet the Holy Spirit. And I ended up meeting the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's a long story, but anyway. And my point is all these people start coming to me, the leaders are coming to me and saying, you preach just like Jack Hiles. God is so powerful on you. And they wanted to start booking me for meetings and all kinds of stuff. And now I went there, and I was all humble, and I was afraid, and I didn't want to move. And then when God flowed through me, and people started swarming me and saying all this good stuff, because God had got loose, the pride of my heart went up into my head, and I got this huge head. And I started believing my press report. You know what I'm saying? And I started taking the credit. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, God will share his glory with no man. And I was going to go home that night, but they begged me to stay, be part of this whole multi-day meeting, meet these other nationally known men, and opportunities would arise, and da-da-da-da-da, and all this. You understand? And I got all puffed up. And I stayed. And people ask you questions and all this, and you're like, you know? And you start doing all this. And the word ichabod in the Old Testament means the glory hath departed. And in the New Testament it says, I think it's in Ephesians 4, around verse 29 or so, it says, quench not the Spirit. That might be 1 Thessalonians 5. But anyway, it says, quench not the Spirit. Don't take the Holy Spirit and pour water on Him. Don't put Him out of the way so that you can come up front. It's about God. And God wants to live in us. And God loves you so much. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about the love of God. Now, we talked about, remember the questions I was asking you last week? And y'all were all answering them. Why did God create us? Do you know how your Creator thinks about you? Do you know that God wants a personal relationship with you? Do you know how much He wants that? Do you know what prevents that? Do you know what God's love is like? Remember we were talking about all that? You remember, Gary? And y'all were just giving testimony and answering those. And it was incredible because I could stand up here week after week and tell you stuff. But last week God said, I want you to take your outline and ask them, okay, I shared this with you. Now what do you get out of it? What do you really believe? And then we went to the last one, and we're going to go there today and springboard from there. What shall separate us from the love of God? Turn over to, if you're in Romans, in chapter 8. And we'll start with verse 31. And the reason I like to start with verse 31 is because it just has two little words in there that excite me so much. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In other words, who can accuse the people that have been forgiven by Jesus? It's God that justifies or declares guiltless, declares innocent. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who now also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Let me see. Let me go here a second. Romans 8. I want to share something with you about that. Now, come on, where are you? Romans 8. I know you're in here. Fine, I'll just do it a different way. Not going to get me. All right, let's go back. Romans 8. It says, shall tribulation, and that word tribulation, see, let's go to verse 35 here. That word tribulation, one of the things that it means is trouble. Okay? What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Pressure? Trouble? Does that separate us from the love of Christ? Does God leave us when there's pressure? Does God leave us when there's trouble? Does that separate us from His love? Shall distress? What's distress? Calamity? Anguish? Brokenhearted, just things coming at you you can't even handle, and just your heart is just like broken and ripped. Shall that separate us? Shall peril, shall danger separate us from the love of God? Shall sword, war, or judicial punishment? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate us from the love of God?
Nothing.
Nothing? What can separate us from the love of God?
Just ourselves.
Yep. And how do we separate ourselves from the love of God?
By allowing our sinful nature to take control.
Okay. Choices? Mm-hmm. How about this? How about what we believe? You see, God's for you. But when you do wrong, you feel like God's against you. Mm-hmm. Do you hear me? But what can separate you from the love of God?
Nothing.
God loves us whether we're good or bad. He doesn't quit loving us. His love is not based on our performance. Please get that in you. It grieves his heart. God does not quit loving you based on your performance. Love never fails. Love can't quit. God is love. God doesn't just love. He is love. He's not a little heart, my chihuahua. Okay? He is agape love. Do you know what's a really neat verse? Look over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Let me just show a verse to you that you've seen before. I've known it for over 30 years, but when I was studying for this, God just opened it up to me, just one little word, and it just is so incredible, Bill. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth. That word commend means to show, to demonstrate. God showed me that years ago. The word commend, you look it up in a dictionary, it means to show, to demonstrate. God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners.
During
our most wicked, ungodly choices, right in the midst of it, while we were yet sinners, Jesus said, I see what he's doing. I want to die for him. I see what she's doing. Please punish me instead. I don't want them to get what they deserve. Because I love them. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. While they're spitting on him. While they're saying, if you be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe. While they're mocking him, the Bible says, I was reading it yesterday, Matthew 27, and wagging their head while he's hanging on the cross. And Jesus, love defined. Is saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Because I'm doing this for you. Because I am for you. I am for you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. We have been under such a deception of a religious spirit where we think that God only accepts us if we do good, if we're living perfectly, and so that's why people don't come close to God. That's one of the reasons. Because they're afraid to get near him. Because they're afraid they're going to get a spanking. That's what they deserve. Isn't that what we deserve? I'm sorry? Is that what we deserve? I like this. What this teenager, one time when I was a youth director, what he said, Homar, he said, when my dad's trying to whip me with his belt, he said, I try running from him, and he was able to get me better because I made a good target. He said, what I learned was to run to him and hold him. And when he tried to hit me, he hit himself and he quit hitting me.
Mm-hmm.
We try to run from God because we don't believe that he's for us. One time God just had me look up all these verses where it says he's for us. You can't even imagine how many times it says in there, he's for us, he's for us, he's for us. He is for us.
He knows how to only give good gifts.
He only gives good gifts. James 1:18, I think that is. 1:17. Whom the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Every good gift. Look at Romans 5:8. But God commendeth. When I was doing this study, God showed me that word commend. It doesn't just mean to show. It just doesn't mean to demonstrate. God showed his love toward us. God demonstrated his love toward us. Yes, that's true. But he did this. God introduced his love toward us. His love. You see, because what we call love isn't love. A lot of it is not love. I used to tell the boys in my youth group, boys, they loved it when I called them boys. Hey, boy, you know, they loved that. I'm a man. Yeah, Okay, man. Why don't you quit telling those girls you love them? Because you don't love them. Because love gives and lust takes. Why don't you get honest, tough guy, and tell them you lust them? And girls, they're lying to you. If their mouth's moving, they're lying. If their mouth's moving, they're lying. Because if they're trying to take from you, they do not love you. And you do not have love outside of God. You do not have love outside of God-sanctioned union. All you have is lust. And lust will hurt you. We have a saying, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And it uses you. It hates you. The devil, he is your enemy. It traps you. It takes away all your freedom, all your peace.
A lot of people think bondage is freedom to them, but it isn't. In this world, you know, in the United States.
If we knew that how much God loved us, if we only knew how much God loved us, he says, I'm for you, no matter what. But Lord, I did this. We don't even want to look at him. I did that. He goes, I'm for you. I believe in you. I'm not going to let you go, no matter how far you run. No matter what you do, I love you. I can't take you to heaven with sin. I can't bless your life. I can't protect you because you're not under my authority. You're not in a place I can't bless sin. But I love you. And the moment you turn around, the moment, oh, Jesus, I just wish this would just so get inside of you. Listen to this. Something God gave me, I just... Do you know that you can walk along through life, Rob, and then anywhere in life, anywhere, I don't care where you are, because the Bible says he saves from the uttermost. Well, he saves from the guttermost too. Okay? Unto the uttermost. I don't care where you are. The moment, the very second that you turn toward God, Father stops everything he's doing. Because you were created by him for fellowship, to meet a need. You were created to be a need meter. You know how when you go to help people, you like to help people, right? It makes you feel good. You help somebody do something and, oh, I just want to help them. It's because you were designed to be a need meter. And the first one you're supposed to meet the need of is God. A need meter. Is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Joshua 1:1 says that Joshua ministered to Moses, but Moses ministered to God. Moses needed some water. Joshua brought him water. Moses needed to pass out the flyers. You know, he printed it out the night before on his computer, and now we need to pass them out, right? Okay. Ten Commandments, can you make another stack? Okay. Chisel, chisel, chisel. Okay. Now pass them out, right? And Joshua went and did that. Joshua met the needs of Moses. Moses met the needs of God. When you're going through life, any second of the day, I'm just going to tell you the truth, that if you get a hold of, you're going to get ruined. You are going to get so addicted to this. Because when you experience this, if this gets turned on inside you, you get this light, you will never be the same. I'm telling you. When you stop and you focus on God, you're doing whatever, and you stop and you focus on God, He drops everything He's doing. Everybody around, wait a minute. And when you go to talk to Him or focus or love, you're paying attention to Him. It so meets a need in God that He stops everything He's doing to receive that. Because most people, including us, most of our lives, neglect God. We're afraid of Him because we've done wrong. He didn't do wrong. We have a wrong concept of Him. Some big, okay, Dan. You know, right? And then when we do wrong, do you know that if you just came to God and brought all of your sin, and you're thinking, oh, no, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to mention that. Remember when you've heard me give my testimony? And I said, the preacher said, can I help you pray? And I said, I wish you would. And he said, God, please forgive me. You know, God, forget, however he said it. I'm not flowing in it, so I don't remember how he said it. But it's like, God, forgive me for my sin or something like that. And I said, no. God, please forgive me for... I said, please forgive me for being a sinner or something like that. I said, no, please forgive me for being a low-down, sorry, scumbait, wretched, wicked, vile, putrefied, vomit sinner. That's what I am. I'm not just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. He's just a homosexual. He's just an alcoholic. We don't get real. And if you don't get truth, there is no deliverance outside of truth. The name Jesus means deliverer. You need to get Jesus. You see? And the only way you can do that is by getting truth. And Jesus said He's the truth. He's not a truth. He is the truth. The truth. The. Definite article. The. Not indefinite article. A. He is not a God. He is the God. He is not a truth. He is the truth. Everything in this Bible points to Jesus. Every single thing points to Jesus. It's Jesus that we need. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that they need. We get caught up in so many things. It's Jesus.
He's our hope.
And when you turn your focus to Him, He is so desirous of your fellowship, Bill. And He's just holding His arms out. And it's like we bring our sin to Him. When you learn the secret, you just bring your sin to Jesus. Jesus, here's my sin. Now, you need to get real and really open about your sin to get saved. Not some little mere pittance, I'm a sinner. No, I'm a hell-deserving sinner. I deserve death. I have been an enemy of God. I have been selfish and proud. And I like people adoring me and admiring me and look at, you know, whatever, you know, Purdy. Sorry, aren't I pretty? Boy, when Sue and I got married and I had this long hair, I kept combing my hair. Because all these girls had said, oh, I'm so jealous of your hair. It's so beautiful and full and long and curly. And one day Sue said, look, buddy. She said, one of us in this home is going to have long hair. Is it you or me? She said, because I ain't competing with this long hair on you. You know, I ain't doing this, you know. She says, I'm the one that's supposed to be. You want me to chop mine off? Either that or you get yours cut. I'm so glad.
Smart woman.
I'm glad she was bold enough at that time to just speak that out. God's love. God introduced, Romans 5:8. God introduced his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He introduced his love. Not any kind of love known like that in the world. You get saved, you bring all your sin to Jesus, and he gives you all his righteousness. It's the neatest swap meet I ever got in on. And then after that, it's so simple. Anytime I mess up, you know, like every minute I'm breathing, I just turn to him. And as soon as I turn to him and say, Jesus, please forgive me. And he'll say, son, it's already forgiven. What sin are you talking about? I can't remember them anymore. I buried them in the sea of forgetfulness. I separated your sins as far as the east is from the west. Remember how the east never meets the west? Well, I can't even find your sin anymore. What sin are you talking about? Harv, what are you talking about? I've already taken care of it. You're not really forgiven. You're cleansed. Harv, I love you. And that sin isn't you. That's how you were deceived by the enemy. And as you draw closer to me, and you get more full of me, I'm going to teach you how to walk in the victory of Jesus. Because you're just going to be hanging out with me and getting so filled up with love. All your needs are going to be getting met. And you won't be trying to find your needs met in a bottle or in somebody's bed. You won't. You don't need to escape. You don't need to, grab my arm. You don't need to run from me. Run to me. Because I'm for you. I'm for you. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm so glad you asked. Well, at the end, okay? Please. Romans 5:8, right? I think that's where we were. Except for I better get there too. Okay. I want you to, okay, come on. Help me. Yeah. Okay, Romans 5:8. Okay. Listen to these verses, okay? Okay, Romans 5:8. Turn to Psalm 69:9. Lois, you do Psalm 69:9. Gary, you do Isaiah 53:5. Glenn, you do Jeremiah 31:3. Rob, you do John 3:16. Where? Tom, turn to John 13:1. Bill, do John 15:13. Somebody else do Galatians 2:20. Somebody else do Galatians 3:13. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. We just got a few to read. All right. And I'm not done with the list. But you ready? Psalm 69:9. Who'd I give it to? Please.
For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me.
Okay, here's Jesus talking. This is prophetic scripture, Psalm 69:9. He says, the zeal of thine house I am so caught up in the church. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now, where was I? The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Keep going. Hang on. And the reproaches, the sin, the way that people have affronted me, the way that people have sinned against me, the reproaches of them that reproached thee, Father, their sin has fallen upon me. Does God love you so much that He took all of our offenses against God and said, let them fall upon me? But God introduced His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were offending God, Christ died for us. He introduced His love because the world did not know that love. The world does not know that love. Okay, Gary, I think, right? Okay, Isaiah 53:5.
But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed.
Thank you, Lord.
Good night. Do you think He loves us? How much does He love us? These two are doing marriage counseling, and we're going to end up marrying them. And one of the things that a husband is, he's not just a lover, and he's not just a provider, but he's a protector. And he needs to love her, Ephesians 5:25, like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Gave His life, laid it down for her. It's not about me. It's not about pleasing me. Right, Rob? It's not about what I want. Right, Glenn?
Right.
It's what does Melissa need? Let me lay my life down. Whatever it takes, I have got to get to God. I have got to get so full of God because she deserves God. She needs this kind of love, this kind of laying down, this self-sacrificing love. She needs that. And when you pour that upon your wife, you are called to be an instigator of love, and she's called to be a reciprocator of love. She doesn't love me enough, so I do porn. It's probably because you don't love her enough. Because she will reciprocate what you give. She doesn't meet my needs. Are you meeting hers? I go to work. I do. I mow the yard. Did you know that women need affection? Mm-hmm. Did you know that women need time? Did you know that women need you to listen to them? And some men need you to listen to them like a lot? Mm-hmm. Guys, you want to have a good relationship?
Yeah.
You've got to talk to her. What are you thinking? She says. He says. Things makes for good relationship. What's on your heart? Stuff. Why don't you go stuff that somewhere and get open? What are you feeling? Because women are feely. What are you feeling, Bill?
Tired.
Don't want to talk about it. Tired. Don't want to talk about it. I'm going to go into neutral mode, and I'm going to turn on the television. Because then I don't have to think. It can entertain me. She was sitting in the chair next to me. We did it together. You spent time together? What? Watching this thing that did your thinking for you? And She needs you to love her. And see, that's how God is with you. He's right here for you all the time. How many of you have messed up? How many of you have fallen? How many of you have sinned? And you've come to us or whatever. And we got you to Jesus. And it was like, oh, the burden's lifted. Oh, I feel loved again. Oh, I can face life and I don't need to go do those drugs. Oh, how many of you? And the rest of you, if you got honest, you raise your hand. Okay? But it's okay. We're going to work with you. You don't get to fail. Okay? That's right. We just get to keep repeating it until you get it. Okay? And you're worth it. We'll just take all the time you need. If it takes another 40 years around the mountains or another night with the frogs, we'll do that. Because you're worth it. Because you're worth waiting for. God is not in a hurry. We don't get it. We've got all this stuff we think we get, and God's up there going, you just don't get it yet, but it's okay. I'll be long suffering and I'll wait. You think you're waiting? God is so waiting, but he's so kind about it. He's patient and he's kind about it. Not like I've been. Okay, Sue, I'm waiting. You know, I wish you'd get that barn painted so we could get onto the church, you know. That's not kind about it. God loves you. God is for you. He's for you. And every time we mess up, he's there making provision. And he doesn't just take care of the sin and have to suffer for it. He doesn't just do that. But when you read 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, it says, but if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, then we lie and do not the truth. Oh, I'm with God. You're the only one, I guess, that doesn't realize you're in darkness because all the rest of us can see it. And when we can see it, we need to pray for them that their eyes would be open because we have blind spots too. And wouldn't it be neat if somebody was praying for me to open my blind spots? Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, but if we confess our sin, if we say the same thing God says and mean the same thing, he is faithful. 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 And just. Righteous. Because of the blood of Jesus. To forgive us our sin. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is for you. He loves you. What was the next verse? Where were we? Jeremiah 31:3, Glenn.
Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with love kindness have I drawn thee.
I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I never quit loving you. I never quit loving you. I never quit loving you. And because I love you, I keep drawing you and drawing you and drawing you and drawing you. Even when you're running, even when you're arguing, even when you're in your self-righteousness and tell me all the good things you do and why you should be accepted and you're trusting in your own goodness instead of Jesus. You're trusting in what you know instead of what he says and what he knows. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness have I drawn you. His love. But God introduced his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. Next verse, John 3:16. Who did I give that to? Please read it.
God so loved the world.
Go ahead. Rob, go ahead.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world. Are you part of the world? I just need to know so I can go forward from here one way or the other. Are you part of the world? Well, could we put your name in here? Let's see. Let's do it this way, okay? We'll use... okay, I did the wrong one. Get rid of that thing. Okay, here we go. John 3:16. He says, for God so loved Dan. Is Dan part of the world? Now watch. God so loved Dan. He's like, I'm trying to make this, explain it to you, but the biggest word I know is the word so, S-O. I so loved you that in the midst of your sin and you didn't even want me and just living, you know, following the enemy and letting him live through you, I gave, because love gives, my only begotten Son, my only Son, that whosoever, is he a whosoever? Are you a whosoever? Are you a whosoever? Every one of you are whosoevers, just so you know. You're not a Hoosier. You're not from Indiana. You're a whosoever. That whosoever believeth on him, rests on him, relies on him, depends on him. I don't have anyone but you, Jesus. I don't have any other hope. There's nothing else I can offer to God but the sacrifice you made, which is your blood. Because the only payment for sin is death. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, no removal, no forgiveness. For God so loved the world. God so loved you, 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 me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, rests, trusts, relies, depends on him, should not perish. Shouldn't have a wasted life. Shouldn't be bound by the enemy. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where are we? Who's the next verse? Who is the next verse? John 13:1. Do you have, who has that? Go ahead. You, we'll use you. We'll pretend you're Tom. Okay, 13:1.
And now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he shall depart out of this world to unto the Father, having loved his own Son, which...
Having loved his own... Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He didn't quit loving them. What can separate us from the love of God? He doesn't quit loving you based on your performance. Can you say that with me? God doesn't quit loving me based on my performance. We are going to spend more time talking to you about that, but you've been taking your prescription, right? And reading his word. Now he's talking to you, isn't he?
Yeah, it's for 23 years now already. Well, but I thought you have to get, the Lord has to tell you that you're saved before he will continue loving you.
No, he loved you before you were saved. That's why he died for you.
But why does it take so long for him to do that for some people?
Some of us are a little thicker than others. Some of us have to, unfortunately, go through a long road till we end up laying kind of, we have to come to the end of ourselves before we can hear him. Because it's like one time I was laying in a hospital bed and I was looking up and it was like, I said, God, you got my attention. And it was like, yep, I now have your attention because you're stopped. Before this, Harvey, you were too busy. Now I've got your attention. And I couldn't do anything but look up because I was laying in a hospital bed. See, God loves you so much. He created you in his image. So it says over in John 10:30, it says, Jesus is talking about where it says earlier in the scripture, which I don't remember, I think it's in Psalms, but it says, he says, ye are gods. Do you know how you're a god? Because God gave you a right that is called a free will. And you get to be the god of your life. You get to choose who you're going to serve. You get to choose what you're going to do. You get to choose who you're going to listen to. You get to choose how you're going to love God or not. You get to choose where you spend eternity. You get to choose. You get to choose. And God, from this point forward, so you understand, you can do anything you want, but you will reap the result of that choice. You get to do anything. God loved you so much, he gave you freedom even to make mistakes. But Lord, yes, I know. Give him time. But Lord, should I say something? No, Harv, because you want to. He said there will come a time where you don't want to. And then that'll be me telling you to do it. But you won't want to. Because it's not your will, because you're still trying to be God. God so loved us that he gave us a free will to choose. And even when we choose wrong, he still loves us. He doesn't quit loving us. And He doesn't love you more when you choose the right way. It's not like, okay, I love you, Dave. I'm kind of tolerating you or just like, you know, putting you on the back burner. Yeah, yeah. You're not my favorite, you know, like that Dave. He's my favorite. But, yeah, you're one of mine, but you're just like that, what they would call a redheaded stepkid or something, you know. Oh, you're doing right? Oh, well, now I accept you more. No, there's nothing you could do that's going to make him love you anymore. He doesn't love you more because you do good. And he doesn't love you less because you do bad. God loves you 100% with everything he is, everything he has right now. Because he chooses to love us. It's his choice. He made us just like we are. He loves us when we're hurting him. That's why it says in Romans 5:8, but God introduced his love. Because, sorry, not picking on you, but when I slap you, does that make you like me? No. You love me, right? You love me, right? See, look at it. I see my eyes are lighting up, dude. If I do that two or three more times, I think I got it, you know? Yeah. You see, we don't understand God's love. Because our love that we got from our parents was conditional. You ever had your parents reading the newspaper? Yell at you, turn that TV down! Go outside and play! This is the one who is supposed to love me the most? Not a very good representation of God. So God said, excuse me, I had to introduce my love. Here's my love. Here's my love. While you're a sinner, I died for you. Because I'm about restoration. I'm about reclaiming you for my son. Because you meet a need in my heart. And I want to meet a need in yours. And I want us to have the most intimate intercourse that you've ever imagined. Of two lives together, sharing intimacy in to me. See? Get it? Into me, see. Not into me, hide. Into me, see. That's what God's about. What's the next verse? Glenn, I know you're writing them down. John 15:13. And who's got Galatians 2:20? Go ahead, read that. Who loved me and gave himself for me. God introduced his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 15:13. Somebody have that? Okay.
Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends.
Wow. There's no greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. Did you know that you're a friend of God? Did you know that you're a friend of God? Did you know that you're a friend of God? Did you know that? Did you know he didn't quit loving you? Galatians 3:13, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, if you'd like to. Galatians 3:13. Somebody want to read that? Bill, while you're there, would like to read that? Somebody else could get Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. Somebody else, Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. Ephesians 5 and 2. Okay, go ahead, Bill. 3:13.
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.
Do you know, would you rather be a blessing or a curse?
Blessing.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Blessing.
But the Bible says Jesus became a curse for us. Jesus became cursed for us. Because it is a curse to be hung on a tree. And Jesus became a curse for us. He hung on the tree for us. That kind of love. Romans 5:8. But God introduced his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:4-5. Do you have that, Kristen? Ephesians 2:4-5. Wait a minute, it's real little slower.
But God God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we're dead in his in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Do you hear that? But God, who is rich in mercy, forgiveness. Lord, how many times do I have to forgive this brother? 7 times in a day? I mean, he already came to me, I forgave him, and then he turned around and did it again. And okay, I chose to forgive him again, and then he did it again, and he's done to me 7 times. How many times do I got to forgive him? How about unlimited? How about 70 times 7? How about, how many times does he need it? Until he comes into right relationship, and until he knows that he's loved, and until he has his needs met, and so that he's not having, and he's healed where he needs that healing, so that he's not hurting you and doing. Are you willing to lay your life down and keep giving him a gift of forgiveness that he'll never deserve, but so desperately needs? Would you, God says, let me live through you? Would you let me love through you? Because that verse said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You see, have you ever sinned and you don't want to come to God because you think he must be tired of forgiving me? He's probably fed up with me. Is there anybody that's honest enough that would say that? Because guess what? I've lived there. I don't live there anymore because he delivered me from that. It says, even when we were dead in sin. Now, class, come with me. We're going to take a little field trip. We're going to the morgue. Okay, now here we are. We're at the morgue. Do you see this? This is called a cadaver. Okay? And what a cadaver is, it is a dead body. Can you see this, class? Yeah, you see this dead cadaver? Okay, this used to be a person walking around like you see all the time. This is a dead person. Aren't you glad, class, we came to the morgue? Yes, teacher. Even when we were dead in sins. Even when we were dead in sins. The Bible says, even when we were dead in sins. Where are we? 2, 4, and 5. Verse 5. He has quickened us. He has made us alive together. He loved you when you weren't profitable. He loved you so much to say, you're dead, but I love you so much. I'm going to give you mouth to mouth. I'm going to breathe life into you. I'm going to come and wash you clean. I'm going to forgive you of everything that killed you. And I'm going to give you a second chance. And I'm going to raise you from the dead. And I'm going to put my Holy Spirit inside of you. And you're going to become born again. Because before that, we're dead in sins. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. Where's the next verse? Ephesians 3, 17 and 19. Did somebody have that? Romans 5, 8. But God introduced his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Go ahead. Somebody read that. I think we'll end here. I wish we didn't have to. I only got about... Well, nope, I said Ephesians 3, 17 and 19. I did say Romans 5, 8, but I quoted it. Because that's the verse I keep coming back to. God introduced his love.
I'll do that. Ephesians 3, 17 and 19.
Go ahead.
All right. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth
and length.
And length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might. might be filled with all the fullness of God.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in the love of God. Rooted and grounded. May be able to comprehend what all God has for you. And then it goes on to say, and to know the love of Christ. But God introduced His love. To know the love of Christ, God introduced His love. It's not like your love. It's not like the love of the world.
Right.
God introduced His love that you might know the love of Christ, which passes the understanding of your little pea brain. That you might be filled. Do you understand what God is saying here? That you might be filled with all the fullness of, what's that last word? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You ever got around somebody and just God just seems to get out of them? I mean, He just like, He flows through them. It's like His love, His mercy, it's like His Spirit, there's life. It's like you get near them, they pray for you, they just, God gets on you. You like being around them? Well, what if every one of us was filled with the fullness of God? Huh. Almost like it was God's plan. Sounds like that might be God's plan. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Like letting God get loose through us. Whoa. What a novel thought. I wonder why God didn't think of that. He should have. What a thought. That God would reach the world. Remember? That God would reach Dan. That God would reach Dave. That God would reach Glenn. For God so loved Glenn. For God so loved Bill. For God so loved Christy. Do you see? For God so loved Grace. That He filled you with Himself. Filled you. Just packed you full. So filled that He's just like overflowing like an artesian well. You can't turn Him off. His love, His person, His believing in you, His never giving up, His rich in mercy, His laying His life down. Is in you, flowing out of you into others that have need. Others that need a fill up. Others that need a hug. Others that need to be comforted. Others that need to be believed in. God, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. The hope of glory. What can separate us from the love of God? Are you getting it?
Absolutely.
Are you getting Him? Are the lights coming on? But you go get in the car, you start walking out there, and she says something, and you snap at her, and it's like, oh, Jesus, He said, already forgiven. Let me cleanse you. Jesus, I need to have your heart. I'm right on my way. I'm going to give you my heart. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'd love to, because I love you. She said, that wasn't you, little Robbie. That was the enemy. That wasn't you. I know you, and that was the enemy. Do you get it? This is walking in His love. Walking in His love. Anybody? Comments? Questions? I can keep going. I got 5 or 10 more verses, but I feel like I'm supposed to go ahead.
When I first became a Christian, I had a different look how God looked at me because of my father, being the way he was towards me and stuff. And, God had to deal with me a lot with that. And what I want to tell everybody, the enemy wants to keep you stuck.
Stand up, please.
The enemy wants to keep you stuck, in that where you're just so mad, and he's had to move me from that, to free me from that. Once I really got how God looks at me, no matter what I do, he wants to keep you from not coming to him and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Because a lot of times I would disappear from church, because I'd be doing the wrong thing. I'd be smoking drugs, doing all sorts of stuff. And I felt so bad, but the place that I needed to be, I wasn't there. And that's, I just don't want people to believe the lie, about God's love towards you. Because Satan loves to keep you stuck. And if you believe these lies, I believe so many lies. And there's probably still some lies that I believe, but God has shown me. And you can come against that and do the right thing by coming and being prayed for. And God will forgive you, and that's what he wants.
Thank you, sir. So we had to forgive our dad. And we forgive our dad because God first forgave us.
The first thing that God dealt with me when I hated my dad. It's lucky I didn't kill him. When I got saved, he ripped that out of my life like unbelievable.
God took that out of your heart.
I had
right when you got saved, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I want to make sure I was saying, understanding. It wasn't your dad ripped something out of your life.
No. God.
God ripped unforgiveness and hate and bitterness out of your life toward your dad and gave you his love for him.
Yes.
I only know this because he's told me this, because he just is so amazed at what God has done inside of him.
I just don't want people to be stuck with lies.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's Palm Sunday, and one of the biggest things in my salvation, the other half of my salvation, not only is death, that he died for my sins, but that he was risen again and set at the right hand of God to prepare a place for me. But the big thing about this upcoming Sunday, Easter, the resurrection book, is that if in John 12:12 talks about how he came into Jerusalem after raising Lazarus from the dead, a resurrection that he performed in front of the disciples. A lot of the disciples at the time of his crucifixion stood in the background. They wouldn't stand up and say, I love you, Lord. They would have died there with him. So at their, out of their fear, they stood in the background. But after he was resurrected and raised again, all of them some of them were beheaded, some of them were crucified, some of them died some horrible death, boiled in oil. Some things, he wasn't even with them then. So the resurrection, that part of salvation, is just as important.
Of course. He died for our sin, but he was raised again for our justification, or for us to be declared innocent, Scripture says. Anybody else want to comment on the love of God or give a testimony of what? Go ahead.
The men's meeting Wednesday night, I thought it was pretty awesome, and I definitely felt the Spirit of God here, Jesus here, and since that night, the problem or the issue that I was most burdened by, probably from mostly by myself, but whatever, is totally gone.
Totally gone. Thank you, Jesus.